often tells that Christian life does begin by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in Him as personal Savior and Lord. That word, see verse 3, the word trust. So I'd like to show you four Christian steps with that passage at the same time what happened in my life. I did not have a privilege like you to sit in a Sunday school or raised by a Christian parents and not any kind of Christian activities. Only I have some Christian names when I was studying in school and colleges. So I was raised as a Hindu, a religious Hindu. And my parents, I'm the oldest son of the family. They dedicate my life to serve the Hindu gods and family temples. So I was raised in that ritualism. But I was growing up doing all the ritualism. Nothing is satisfying me. Rather, a deep emptiness began to grow. It's getting void and void. So I tried my very best. Temples, spending time, hours, ritualism. But nothing is just working in my heart. So I finished my school and college. Then I was commissioned to Indian Army Force. So I went to Indian Army Force. So I began to work hard. Maybe I thought if a good position will help me to fill that emptiness. So after a few years, I became an army officer. Then with my promotion, I was transferred in northeastern part of India. That's almost around 4,000 kilometers northeast. And in that time, and there was a war broken out, India and Pakistan, for the cost of East Pakistan, which became Bangladesh in 1972. So as I was there, one day I was running with my exercise and all. Suddenly I throw blood. So my superiors got their attention, brought me to the hospital, going a thorough medical checkup. The result brought a great disappointment because that showed I had a very bad TB contract me. Being a man with ambitions and goal, here I fell with this contagious disease. And that was a time of discouragement, depression. But my superiors began to find out where I can treat it in a better way. Now I say, God bless me with TB. If any other disease, army has got hospital. But they did not have a sanatorium. Because of that, they began to search where I can treat it in a better way. So they came to realize there is a hospital run by Baptist Mission from North America having a clinic for tuberculosis sanatorium. So I went to that sanatorium. Being army officer, they did not want to give, but finally they opened an admission and I went to the hospital. As I went to the hospital, along with my medications and shots, they began to give the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a Hindu, believing in 333 million God and goddesses, you don't ask all the names, you will not be able to get back to home till evening. That many God and goddesses. And why should I add in a foreign God to my prayer list? That was my question to this missionary doctor. He smiled, he just walked away. Then the other day he came and said, if he can walk, why don't you come to the Bible study we conducted for the patients. So to when the doctor invites, you need to go. So I just went to that Bible study. As he was teaching from God's word, he said, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you will die in your sin and you shall have a lost eternity. I was so angry, upset. This doctor is telling all my religious practices, ritualism, all the things I was doing and many others, millions doing, is a waste. So he walked away from meeting. I was upset. I didn't go back to my bed. I went down to see the library to find a Bible in my own language. India has got over 1,800 different dialects. Over 100 plus languages, the Bible or the portion of the Bible has been translated. So I found a Bible in my own language. So I started reading. Not to become a Christian, but argue with the missionary folks, telling mine is better than yours. So I started reading. I did not know it was God's word, but I started reading. And taking God's word out of context, arguing with the people, those who come with gospel, that became a habit for me. So around 3 to 4 months' time, I became a nuisance in the hospital. Anyone come, I have a question, I want to make fun of them. And I'm using my army background and things, you know, that they walk away. So it cost me, after 5 months, people stopped coming nearby my bed because they would not come with gospel. But they thought, I'm just gone. I'm just another strong, lost, good-for-nothing Hindu. That's what I thought. And they thought, you know. But I kept on reading the Word of God. Around 6 months' time, I read Bible page to page completely. But I took God's word out of context, heard many things gospel. And this doctor, but he never gave me up. Whenever he come, he just began to share the gospel. Though my sarcastic questions and answers and provoking thoughts make them some sentence and made it, but still, he, with a smiling face, he began to share the gospel. My health was not doing good. I saw people die with TB in the hospital. All the medication I'm taking, it's not doing any good. So I thought, maybe with the frustration, I thought, I will pray to Jesus along with the Hindu god and goddesses around 8-9 months' time. No Hindu will be upset to adding Jesus, one of their gods, because with many, nothing changed there. So I thought, I'll just pray to Jesus. So I began to pray. That did not bring any good thing. Jesus Christ is not one of the gods. He is the Lord and God. There is no God beside Him. And that I did not know that time. So anyway, I kept on reading. I started reading the Bible again, continually reading. Around 15 months passed in the hospital. Almost I became a kind of my second home. I never stayed 15 months before in my training in any place. But here I'm like a second home. Many became friends, many died in the hospital. But kept on reading the Word of God. Kept on reading the Word of God. The problem in my life, I did not want to admit I'm a lost sinner. I need a living Savior. Rather, I was always taught my religious background. I'm just mentioning a few things because some of you folks, just in this country also coming, people get very familiar things, you can say, the New Age movement. The word karma is familiar now in Western and this part of the country. And reincarnations and yoga and transcendental meditations, all those things comes in the packet of a new label called New Age Movement, but it is an old packet of Hinduism. There's a big group behind this, promoting this all across the world. Anyway, what happened is that what my thought, I'm doing all the best what I can do. It only thinks I need to do some more and more and more. Nothing happening. 18 months in the hospital. I read Bible 2 times. Heard gospel hundreds of times. And nothing is happening. Frustrations. And third time I was reading the Bible, I came across Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. The word of God says the heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked, who can know it? First time ever in my life, God began to speak through that verse, convicting my own heart, saying, my heart is so filled with sin, awfully lost in sin. The Holy Spirit was so much convicting of my sin, I started weeping in my bed, the things I was doing. And I looked back to Hindu religion, if there is any hope for me. The Hindu religion, they say their scripture supposed to be, says, God manifests often to destroy the wicked and save the righteous. But the Bible I read a few times and heard gospel says there is no righteous, no, not one. That means there is no hope for me. But the gospel also brought me into my remembrance that Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and save which was lost. I began to look into my religion, the old religion. There is none came to seek and save those who are lost in sin and wickedness. But only my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this world to seek and save which was lost Not only that, he died in behalf of me by shedding his blood. He was buried and is risen from the dead. And Bible promised, if I call upon him, I shall be saved. That whole gospel is coming to my remembrance. I could not do any better things than kneeling down that morning, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come to my heart. That morning, I trust the Lord. I became a Christian. Christian life does begin by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning, trusting him. Not trusting any other thing, not trusting one of the gods, not trusting one of the way. No, he is the way. Beside him, there is no possible ways. I began to realize he's the only one came to this world and died in behalf of me. Not only died, he was buried, risen from the dead. He's alive. If I call upon him, I shall be saved. That morning, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I won't jump up and down with tears, but I was very careful because I'm already nuisance in the hospital. So I was very careful. I walked down, sneaked out. I want to meet with the doctor who faithfully gave me the gospel 18 months. Never gave me up. Prayed for my soul. Behold, as I was going, he was coming out from his home and I met him. We prayed on the way. I told him I got saved. Tears of joy. I came back. I could not go back to my bed because I misled many people in that hospital. So that was my thinking. I must go back and tell everyone Jesus Christ is the Lord and he is the only Savior. Some people that I was coming out, this man turned to be crazy. Until yesterday he was talking about these different things that would happen. If any man or woman trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, he became a new creation. See, that's wonderful things. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, so many things happen to your life and my life. Many times we don't acknowledge that. When I trust the Lord Jesus, God forgave all my sins. I became a child of God. My condemnation being completely removed. I've been transplanted from the family of devil into God's family. I can call him Abba Father because he gave the spirit of adoption to my life. Thank God he has written my name in the book of the Lamb. Thank God I'm a child of God. It's a tremendous blessings when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I have to tell everyone else. That brought problem because TB contracted people should not be talking much. They take real rest. So with that all excitement, doctor said, you are doing too much, you are getting weak, you need to be in the bed. I said, doctor, I have to tell this thing because I misled all these massive people in this hospital. They put me in bed rest. We were all praying. I began to feel all right. I was praying, Lord, help me to get out from this hospital. I've been here for 18 months. I need to tell this truth to my parents, my family, my friends. I need to tell that, Lord, help me. I did not know the Lord was doing a great work. I began to feel all right, but we cannot go according to our feelings. So the doctor, every 3 weeks, we have to take all the x-ray medical tests, like blood and other tests. It was my due. I went to that evening, doctor came and said, something wrong with your result. You must come back tomorrow. So I went and another x-ray and blood and other test. That evening, he just walked with a smiling face to nearby bed and said, Mr. Nair, I do not know I can keep you legally here. I did check 2 times. You don't have any symptom of TB. If I keep, I'll be in trouble. So you have to get out from here. But I'm a doctor. I've been treating you last 18 months. So he changed me from that ward to different place. And he began to just make me to run around that place, make me more activities and all other kind of things. Somehow he wanted to see that I'm sure or not. But anyway, God in his mighty mercy touched my life and my heart and even my body. He took the TB away from me. For the last 45 years, I've never been attacked TB again. Praise God for that. But the amazing thing is that he saved me for eternal life. So I just went back to army. I got small baptized in a small Baptist church there. Went back to army. He called me to his ministry. When I went back to army, it's so much for me because I don't have enough time to read Bible. I have enough time to pray. And somehow the Lord is working on my heart. That what happened, the word two, verse 4 says, delight thyself, trust in the Lord. That means your Christian life begin by trusting in the Lord. Then verse 4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord. So the second word is delight. When you trust God, God, your father, and you became his child. And God expects as a child to delighting in his father. This is the kind of story. I went to America in 1981. Then I have that time two little children. My oldest is Debbie. She was almost around 3 years old. So I just spent over 3.5 months. I want to get back home. I called my wife, not cell phones like today. So I said, give to Debbie. I want to talk to her. She said, Debbie, I'm coming back from America. I'd like to bring something for you. What you like? You have a lot of chocolate here, a lot of candies, hard candies, soft candies, everything. He said, no, no. I said, there's a lot of dress here for children. We're not a fun, good dress for the children. Girls, oh, I began to explain. She said, no. I got a lot of dolls here, Barbie and all kind of things. She said, no. I said, Debbie, tell me. She said, this is a lot of money for this phone call. What do you want? She said, I want Daddy. I want Daddy. That just tears on my eyes, you know. Anything, but she wants Daddy. So I flew back to India. My wife and my mother-in-law and child and a few others came to receive me. My mother, Debbie, came to me and started sleeping on my shoulder when we were driving. My mother-in-law said, last night we were driving almost around 5 hours, and Debbie did not sleep in 1 minute. Now, poor girl, she's sleeping. She wants Daddy. That brought a really kind of thinking. God expects us as a blood-bought children of God. God wants us to delight in Him. Talk to Him. Reading His Word. Praying to Him. Thanking Him. Asking Him to be with us. That God wants us to be delighting in Him. Every day, God is waiting with a wide open arm, waiting for you. Could you imagine that He sent His Son, this world, and He died for you, now to save you, that you should be a member of His family, and God wants to spend time with us. The problem, we don't do that, isn't it? Delight thyself also in the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall give thee the desire of thine heart. The problem today's world is that, you know, we have so many things to delight apart from God, even Christians, you know. So that produced a wrong kind of desire. And we became a kind of eager to get that desire. Became frustrations, disappointment, discouragement, and depression for people. If you delight in the Lord, He shall bring a right kind of desire to our hearts. And surely God promised He is going to fulfill that desire. The early days of my, one of my desire was my parents should come to know Christ. They gave the best of their life to me with their ignorance. They just put me in the religious ritualism. But that's what they thought. But when I got saved, they got upset. They put me off from the home. I'm like a dead to the family. Almost they put my name in the obituary column. Thought I'm dead. I put down their family in mud. But one thing I could do, praying and pleading and begging God to save my father and mother. The early days I just spent time with God and praying and talking. God is a God, just fulfill the desire of our hearts. After 16 years later, both my father and mother trust the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves people. When you have a desire with God, when delight with Him, God brings the right kingdom desire to your life and my life. And surely God promised He will bring it to pass. Say, God, He fulfilled the word He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desire of thine heart. This also is, there are a lot of promises in the Bible, but this promise is like in a conditional promise. If you delight, you shall fulfill the desire of God. If you delight, you shall have right kind of desire, and God promised that He will do it. That was one of my desires. Then other desire was that God help me to reach with the gospel to our people. India has got 1.4 billion people. It's almost little more than what we have in Australia, isn't it? 1.4 billion. 80% of the Hindus. And we also got the second largest Islamic population lives in India. Then we also got Buddhism, Jainism, Zoroastrianism, Sindhoism, and all other kind of religious background, Sikhism, and tribal religious group. In fact, Pastor Alan Mitchell took me to nearby a place. You have a Buddhist temple nearby. It's crazy. I don't know. That what people just do and encroaching. But they all need gospel. Without that, they cannot know the Lord. That's the reason we start the ministry, which I'll explain through the photos, how the Lord just blessed us. We started a very small way with three other men with me, four, and $5. Maybe Australian, maybe $7. God began to bless and blossom the ministry all across India. Delight thyself. Are you a Christian delighting with Him? And praying and thanking God and talking of Him, reading His scripture. Let Him speak to us. Your life is mingled with that. I always pray, Lord, let my children fall in love with the Lord Jesus. Live for them. But if he gained everything and just lose his own soul, they need to delight in him. Because there are so many areas in which can take away your thoughts from you nowadays. A lot of things across the world. But God expects us to delight. Which lead me to a third step. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. So, we have the third step. First, trust, become Christian. Delight, as a child of God, delighting with the Father. Then commit. Commit what? Your ways. And we live in this world, we have all lot of just things come across, cares come across to our life. When we start this ministry, and it came a lot of cares. If you think about every care, you may not be able to get sleep. That's what sometimes you go through. Care of needs. Care of protection. Care of future goals. Care of establishment today. Care of families. Care of friends. Care of the ministries. And all those kind of things come across your life. Care of your future tomorrow. Care of today's need. Unexpected things come to your life. But thank God, God has given a great blessing to you and me. We can commit to Him, commit to Him. First Peter says, cast your burden upon Him, He careth for you. Every one of us may have some kind of care. Even if you're a Christian, but thank God, we are in a great place, we can cast our care to Him. The problem with us, we don't won't commit to Him. We pray and pray and pray and come out to worry and worry and worry how God is going to do it. It's like one time I was traveling in a train back in home. Our trains are filled with people. And even someday you can see people on the top of the train anyway. So one day I was traveling, the completely packed. The train stopped the next station. An elderly lady came with a basket full of banana on her head. By the way, in our state, we get 39 varieties of banana. It's something. So that's a kind of, she just sell. She just got on the train and he was holding, looked any seat, no seats there, held on and just the train started moving. I was sitting the other side, so I just walked towards her, said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to Kochi. 2 hours, you're going to stand on the banana basket over here on your head. When it looks and there is no seat over here. So of course there is no seat, but still you don't have to hold on the banana basket on your head. I took the banana basket and kept underneath of somebody's seat. She said, I never thought that. Some Christians are that way. We have a great place to cast our care, but still we hold, Lord. We pray and pray and pray. We and worry and how God is going to do it. How things are going to happen. Friends, let me tell you, God expects us to cast our care upon Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. No matter what you face tomorrow or today, or what kind of unexpected things can come to your life, your worry is not going to change any situation, but God expects us to commit to Him. Commit. One of the great blessings for Christian is opportunity of prayer. We can commit to Him. It's your Lord. I cannot do it. I need thy help. There is no other place I can do it. My smartness is not going to change the situation. Lord, help me. Thousands of times, God work in my life or ministries. Working. Commit. Commit thy way. No matter what is going on in your mind, what's going on in your life and hearts, God change. That's what we start the ministry. As a day by day, God began to just work. And God began to just work in a marvelous way. And expand it and expand it. Hundreds and thousands of people came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Because it's His work, you have to commit to Him. Maybe you have a problem. Young people or older people, maybe parents and children. Everyone come across some kind of things. But thank God, we can commit to Him. Which lead me to the fourth steps. Verse 7, the word rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest. If you are saved, thank God our sins have been taken care of. I start delighting as a child to the Father. He's always with us. Try to meet the needs of our hearts. Thank God our future fear and problems, we can come into Him. He's taking care. Then what? We have to rest in Him. Rest in Him. Even the multi-millionaires of this world don't have rest. When the poor of this world doesn't have rest. Even any educated ones don't have rest. Uneducated, no rest. But thank God, a child of God can have rest in Him. Rest in the Lord. As a baby sitting on the mother's arm, we can sit and we can lay our head, we can lean upon Him, the very Savior who saved us. Who saved us. That's what God helped us in this ministry. God saved me, took the TB away from me. God gave a wife to me. That's something great I was preaching. In the place, one of the young girls came forward and got saved. She brought her sister next day. And she got saved. They both sisters brought their idea to bring their older sister. And she trusted the Lord. And she started coming to our church along with the sisters and mother. And she became my wife. And Sarah. And we married 39 years. And please do pray. She's in hospital today with some surgery. And pray for her. And she also affected with an early stage of Parkinson's. Without her, I was not able to do what I'm doing. She been with me and worked with me. And she sacrificed so much to stay and work and live and taking care of children and working with the ministry. Thank God for her and pray for Sarah. And thank God she is meeting. And God began to work in our ministry. That's my testimony. And our goal, God willing, as we are training up some young people, taking care of some of the areas of ministry. And God bless us with four children. My oldest daughter, Debbie, and her husband work with our ministry, taking care of the children's ministry. One of the children home you are looking after. And Timothy's home there. And Debbie travels sometimes there. And Johnson, they look after all the government problems. And because sometimes government can come. Keep everything ready with the government, and she's also teaching English, and serving with us in the ministry. My other two girls, they are saved. They are in America working. They help the ministry with their finance. My son wants to be a medical missionary. He's the final year in the medical college. And pray for him. The Lord may keep his heart very tender towards the Lord, that he might be in a useful vessel in the days to come, that he might be able to take and shoulder the ministry along with a few other young people. We trained them, brought them to this ministry. We start with the 4 men and $7 of Australian. Now we have 3,500 people working across India, Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, couple in Bangladesh. Over 1,000 students studying in our colleges as well as extension school. It's all happened because one missionary was willing to share his gospel to me. One missionary never gave me up. Prayed for my soul 18 months. Some people just thought I'm terrible, but he thought, he knew that God of this world blinded my eye. It need to be opened only through the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept on giving the gospel with a smiling face. Don't give up anybody else. I prayed for my father and mother 16 years. One of my sisters I prayed for 34 years got saved. God still saves people. So I trust this will encourage you. Maybe you're a Christian. If not, will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't trust anything. Nothing can save you. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. He is the only true. And he is the only door to heaven. And because he is the only one, did pay the penalty of your sin. Now are you a person, child of God, delighting in him? Start delighting with him. Just fall in love with our Savior. Could you imagine how much he loved you? He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. You know what you'll do even after you get saved? Still without hating, he loved you. Such a love. Such a love. You know, he took my place. Took all my sins upon him. He was not ashamed of taking that on him. Because someone would save you. He deserved our love. We never deserve his love. But he deserved our love. Fall in love with him. Delight with him. Talk to him. And pray and read, meditate, study, apply the truth to our life. Talk of Jesus Christ. Let him be your hero. And commit. Commit your life. Commit your future. Commit your needs. Commit anything what you have. Commit to him. Surely he will bring it to pass. Then rest in him. Thank you.